sort of metaphor. In discussing the weapons that you are using, then you have your rifle. Did you give your bayonet at the same time as the rifle?
The rifle and the bayonet.
The old one
with the Lee Enfield. As I said, that was the one that this chap ran into himself. Mightn't have been able to manage it with a short one when I think back. But the Lee Enfield was the long one,
and that would have to be
had to be spotless, and the scabbard had to be spotless and shiny, and I used to put a bit of good polish on and get them shined up. As I say, they were very, very strict on weapons there, definitely.
Can I say that you saw the rifle drill that they did with you? What was that? What kind of things were you learning with the rifle? As a drill movement?
Well, first of all, you learned how to carry it in order to trail position and not swing it. It had to be dead straight, and everybody's had to be more or less in line. And then we learned how to sew arms with them and carry them on your shoulder, and chain arms, you know, which you found out later on was because your arm was aching. but all of these things, you sort of took in your stride eventually. And present arms, and which was a bit more tricky, you know. And you did all this by numbers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Fixing the bayonet.
This was all done by numbers, you know. Which was difficult later on because in light infantry it was slightly quicker. And it got into this habit of, you know, slow 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, where they are. Light infantry were 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know. Anyway, that's later.
You said that you got your idea, did you? At what point in the training were you allowed to fire in the first fire?
I think it would be about 3 weeks we went down the rifle range and we fired a couple of bullets, you know. And then, maybe the fourth week, if I remember right, we fired, Bruce could tell me the dates. We fired, that's when we got the extra money. We must have fired 5 rounds at different lengths away from the target, you know, 100 yards, 200 yards, I think the 500 was the first we went back, maybe I'm not sure, 500 or 600 yards back. But a funny incident there, incidentally this chap, out of our room, we're lying there and it was just alongside me, and he says, "It's down," so he's stepping, and I said, "What's down?" And there was a cow in the field next to it, and he shot it. Oh dear. And he said, "It's down," sir. And the officer was saying, "It's not down, you haven't hit the target, you know." He said, "No, it's down," and he's pointing over to the right, and he shot a cow, which was grazing there, you know. And then, again, we were doing, as I say, the Bren gun, you know. Oh, it was brilliant, that one. Later in my life, I was getting a good man in the platoon, in the Germans. But there, we learned about it, and learned how to dismantle it, put it together, and, you know, various firing positions and stoppages on the wall, so you have stoppages. And it was a great thing, and I thought it was angry.
And you've also mentioned the machine gun.
We did a little bit on the machine gun. I think if those that stayed with the Cheshire Regiment went on to the bigger part, we were shown the rudiments of it, you know. And to be honest now, I don't think I could fight the one, but it's a skill job and it's all. And they weren't wasting time teaching us about the machine gun unless you stayed with the Cheshire Regiment. I say we didn't have a lot to do with it. We were more or less introduced to it their bed, you know, the corporals dealt with it, the sergeants, telling them what it was about, and we all had a sit behind it, you know, figure what it would be like, and I thought, I don't want to be doing this, I don't want anybody lobbing the remains at me because I shouldn't have been over down there. No, we didn't get the fight, no. We didn't get the fight, if we just sort of saw it. As I said, I don't think I had the time to teach you about that. We did our 6 weeks initial training, then we were dispelled away to wherever. We had, we threw a couple of grenades. We had dummies, first of all, and we were, as I said, down in this training area, there were all sorts of areas for doing things. One, we did throwing the grenades, how to throw them, and had to go and recover them, and they were definitely good. And then, I think it was exactly where it was, but somewhere in the 40s, we went down and we were all allowed to throw one grenade somewhere, you know. It was an incident, somebody had to go pin out, but the sergeant had to go forward to make sure it was safe. imagine if we had a safe, for the murder this person. That was a safety rule, wasn't it?
Was there a technique that they taught you?
Oh yes, I held the ring with the left hand, held it in the right hand, got the ring through the middle finger, and then they were told you didn't hide really, you know, 1, 2, 3, pull your pick out. And of course that's when now the strike is gone, then as soon as your left hand got off, never get rid of it, wherever it was going. But this bloke hadn't pulled the pin out, and he pulled, but the pin pulled hard. Yes. You didn't sort of throw it that way because you're throwing the cricket ball back, you're throwing it as it were. I don't think you get enough practice with those, but of course, when you do it, you know, of course, the grenades, and that's how you do a load of dummy ones, throwing the dummy ones. But it's better than the big gun one. We went through the gas chamber, you know, but it wasn't a very big training as far as that went. We went through the chamber, we were told about it, and that one wasn't it, and the power gas masks on, and before you come out the other side, you took it off, so it was very effective, you know, the gas of your eyes, and it did smart, you know, very bad. It gave us the rest of the morning off after that one, I remember. Tear gas, yes. They had it going in the room. Went in one door and out the other side, you know. And broke from there with talking and shouting, telling you what to do, you know, masks off. And it lets you know that it doesn't be nice because you know people wouldn't carry the masks. I love them, some of them. After you've been through them, you think, well, yes, you've got to carry it, and if there's any gas about getting on.
Did you do any
of these
marches?
Oh, yes.
Did, gradually
build up. As I say, we used to do a couple of miles early in the morning and then get to 3 miles. But every Friday, we did a cross country as well. And everybody was in there over that doing cross country for 5 miles, you know. And you had to be back. I don't know if it wasn't a certain time, if you were beyond that, you were fatigued. So the rest of the week, you know, all these stupid punishments, and some of them aren't up to it, you know. I could get around the thing just that some of them poor fellows would have no way to get around the kind of system. I think it just looked for somebody to do fatigues, compare fatigues, you know. I think that was all the glory. So you run to make sure you don't have to go out
fatigued. But route marches, you said,
we did, yeah, we did marches.
What kind of distance did you start?
I think we started at about 5 miles, if I remember. We marched down to Chester, around the town and back again. It was about 3 miles to the camp. And then we did it bit of March, bigger than that, in the other direction, somewhere about 10 miles, I think, you know, 5 miles out or 5 miles back, you know.
What did you carry?
The full kit, the full, middle of March, you know, the, it was called, that was a big pack and a small pack on the side, a whole lot.
And they would have items in?
Oh, all the equipment, everything was in there, everything you needed. There was one time it wasn't on the bed, it was all wrapped up, yeah, special way of wrapping it all, packing in the bags. You wouldn't believe that you'd get it all in, but you did. And the gas was covered on the whole lot, you know. Some of them did, but the found on by them actually, they said you should be able to pack your bags without having to plow the boards in, you know. I never did. I just used to pack them and try and keep them square. But I know some blocks used to have cardboard in them, that sort of stuff. That's what I use in them.
You might have to write it as well.
Yes. Towards the latter end of it, with the training there, you carry the vendor, you know, as put at the tone, so you could return on the vendor, you know, and you carry that, and a bit of mortar.
It's
a one-man job in the section of the platoon, you know, two sections of the platoon, and what was it, you had five infantry members, and one and two on the vendor behind it. That was on its three brands of meat platoon, which was there. And the water man up here, that was a good to carry the bag.
Well, I have to mention that, I think that one of the things that you had this equipment to carry, did you have a spare of stuff for us in the Isles and also in Martin and the rest?
The long one, the 5 mile one, I don't know, I remember that we used to march there and back. The 10 mile one, we went out on that. I seem to remember we did stop, you know, we sat on the roadside for a little while, but the thing was, if you sat too long, you didn't want to get up walking. And then a couple of times we did, like a force march, you did march and everyone and march and then, you know, that was a trial. They cut you fit and you play there, it was absolutely top notch fit when you finish there, there's no doubt about it. Sometimes they do, yes, yes, get them singing. yes, there was a little bit of that going on, but that was later, when you went to the battalions, you know. There wasn't the sort of a camaraderie there that was when you got to Italian.
You think just a second then, on the long order and the fortnight?
So, some people said, mine never did. I never had blisters. Some of them used to walk a couple of miles and used to get blisters. Fortunately, I never did. I never ever suffered from blisters.
Were you feeling better when you got
back? Yes, well, yes. And when you got back, sat on the bed and the medical office, somebody came down and had a look at it. Made sure that you were not suffering. Now, I never did, actually.
Did anyone drop out?
Oh, yes, there was some couldn't get, you know, couldn't do it. Absolutely fatigued, you know. And,
what happened then?
Some of them were sort of just. I don't know how some of this happened to me. I don't know, one time there was like a 1500 weight truck followed us up, you know, and I presume I must have put them in there and got them back to barracks. I've never ever dropped out, and actually where I was, I've never dropped out, you know, we were all in groups, but there must have been some fallout. And I know there was one or two invaded. You know, after all this brilliant passing about, it was quite clear, I think so. There's no way that we get them fixed. Not everybody is a right to do. And they were degraded and sent off somewhere. I saw one chap, The voter will call one of the call agents, you know, that it doesn't have to be sort of physically fit. Well, they told the court in the morning they were supposed to be able to come on shift the court, you know. And when you were on the ground, you would be waiting out there. That was the drill, and there was that good. Names were called out after the back and went to the medical officer. They were marched after the medical officer. But they had to go on parade. There's no question they were not going on parade. Even if they were dropping down dead, they went in parade. And then they were called out. And they were a bit like, you know, they were called all these men as being correct. Three men sick, or two men dying, or whatever. I remember a couple of them not being able to get out of bed at the end of the conference. Again, this was sort of an operation. I suppose I should have really gone like that, but I soldiered it out and collapsed on the ground on the parade ground. And I was sent back to the village there, I remember, and spent the rest of the day in agony in bed, on top of the bed. Just come out then, I think. I don't think it had been out long.
Did the teacher have to fire
that? They taught us the rudiments of it, but we never had, I don't think they fired it there. I think it was late in there. I'm not looking at it in the battalion, but I don't think they did it with Bansworth. Mostly potatoes, meat and veg, you know, by and large. I don't remember anything really bad about the food. You know, it was fairly good there. You have things there that we've never ate before, like I remember the first time in my life we had pigs, we had been put out of the pot, you know, the whole not the pushed in, but it's a delicacy now, but in those days, I thought, man, this is, you know, complex for you, but well, by and large, the food wasn't bad. Sometimes early evening after, you know, early evening parade and things, you know. Yes, I think about 5 o'clock we had a tea. Now then, quite exorbitant teas, you know, as such. And then if you want to meet after that, you'd abide at enough for yourself. Tea sometimes had a bit of salad or something like that, you know, and a light tea, you know, tea cakes. And things like that, you know, depended on the shops, what they've done, you know. I don't remember them being anywhere over a meter, you know.
What time did your day end?
Sometimes, say about 6, well, sorry, tea time, you know. But there were other days, you went down to 6 for some reason, you know, there was some we might go for a lecture, you know. Well, they're giving the lectures on infantry training, you know, field craft and all that sort of thing. They were used to give me a lecture on what it was all about, you know, how the lecture did come in and but it was mainly on training. So we went, that was when we had our first, we had a film there about 3D and that was again on the ship. But it was the first time, so it was the first time a lot of us had done that. None of such things, you know, simple as that. It's hard to say now, people didn't believe that, but in those days we'd never heard of these dirty women or dirty women, etc. But no, you've got to hard facts on. In the film, that the after effects were on, so not that it affected a lot of people, it was just carried on. That was their business. Yes, yes. I'm trying to think what other things we had like that. We did some observation, aircraft observation, and that sort of thing. Sort of tanks they were, as far as I was concerned. If there was a tank over there, it was an engine and you'd shut it. But filled tank in, I suppose, and kept people happy. They could say that was a Mark 1 or a Mark 6 or a Tiger or a whatever. To me, we loaded the wrong, we loaded it wrong.
Did they
put
any stuff on the German government?
No, they didn't. Well, I'm not sure it was where they had different types of guns like that. Not in great detail, no. We found them and we got into battle, like, you know, we had to pay the bashers and that sort of thing, but we didn't know anything about them until we got there.
So when the team was
It was, except that you had to be cleaning your equipment, you know. Well, you could spend the time on an office, some people did. Some of them used to spend the time on the telephone. You couldn't get a phone in. When you want phone down in the main road, sort of, there was a camp, and there used to be a queue there, people phoning home for the girlfriends and wives. Well, we didn't have, thank God, we didn't have a phone at home, so it didn't bother me that, so for the other thing. And as I say, you were putting things right for tomorrow, you know, getting the equipment cleaned. And we were kept busy.
Blanco
time and washing.
What colour blanco did you use?
The dark green carpet, you know.
And when they took out the gun, they had to
They didn't really, that was one thing. They never really got down to show me how to do it. You just had to learn it and yourself. Self-taught, as it were. And I learned today, I mean, it was the blanket over on the grass and the other, that was the end of the world, like, you know. World War III started.
How did you blanket? What did you call it?
Well, we used to have a block in those days, it came out as cargo there, you know, the block of what used to be was wet with equipment. Again, the art was not wetting it too much, some of this had been in the water and it didn't dry out, but, and you could get the blanket on the inside, otherwise it was on your clothes. And then rub it along. A lot of us had a little brush and we spread it along with a brush. Something that was a toothbrush, an old toothbrush. I had a little brush like a small brush. But the various methods, some of us used cloth.
Keeping the glasses cleaned up.
Well, we had, what was that, glitter. It was like a magic, sort of cotton wool in a tin full of things.
A
button stick that you put underneath and, yeah, like a gas one. I had one that I'd taken in, but it's actually also belonged to my father, right? One of the things I put on it, and I said, well, I don't need that. It was a gas one, you know. I don't know what they were going to do. I lost somewhere. One of the bottles. Yes, it was, it was a nice job, actually, you know. You maybe had all your equipment on when you were down on the battlefield. And nobody could just touch you, but that's up to you, always come again. So, as I say, most of your night was involved there. There was never much of them, and I feel like, you know, sometimes you were somebody who radio. There was no radio like everybody has now. And it wasn't enough to hear it.
At what stage did the basic terms really allow it out?
As I say, about 4 weeks. It must have been, into the 5th week before I allowed out. And then it was only, I think, again, it didn't get out of the
night. Well, into the town,
yeah, Chester.
Getting through the
guardhouse, and inspecting as he went out, and he went just direct and back again. Usually there was a sergeant there with a male officer to go around. You have to give a salute, you know, to make sure that they knew you could salute an officer when you're down the town. Kind of one of our soldiers disgracing here, how we were not doing this look like it. Oh, yes, and it was all okay.
And you'd have to be back
with you by 7 o'clock. Oh, yes, I was half past 10. The pubs used to shut at 10 then, but I didn't frequent them then. It was just about the going around and went down and had a look around the town. Two or three of us friendly, and we didn't have a lot of money. We had to arrive in Chester at that time. So I never looked on the monument in the place.
No,
I don't know any problems. I don't say we weren't down there that much, so.
How did the local people have to get on with it?
As I say, we didn't have much to do, and we didn't get down the town. We were stuck up in the camp all the time, you know, until we got down the weekend. But it was all right, I suppose. We're more for the Yanks, as I say. We arrived and they were just pretty swaddish, but the Americans were there from the broad, you know. There wasn't any animosity at that stage. I believe it was later on, but they just arrived when we were there at that time.
And you didn't have much time to get to know it?
No, not really. For a short time, it was down there a couple hours or so.
What badges have they issued?
That was one of the things that was made of it. They were the General Service Corps badge, like a little plastic thing, you know. We kept that until we got into DLIs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a